You?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Last step towards a little bit.
Yeah, you catch up.
Thanks. Oh, probably another fun. Yeah. Yeah.
So, thank you.
Cool.
Thanks, Greg.
So, last day of tour, like, yeah. You holding up all right?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been a fun run. I mean, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I grew up listening to Descendants music, and we've been friendly for on and off over the last kind of 10, 15 years, but like, yeah. This whole tour is quite funny. Like, co-headlining is kind of a good thing to do in general. And my booking agent was asking me for suggestions of bands to co-headline with, and I suggested Descendants, and he was like, "I don't know if it's gonna work." And I just bugged him and I said, "Look, me and Stefan are really good friends, and I know the other guys as well." And I said, "It's worth a Hail Mary. Do you know what I mean? Send the email, see what happens." So he sent the email and he called me about a day later and was like, "You're never going to guess," but they just said yes. And I was like, "What?" So yeah, very, very stoked about it. It's a huge honor for me to be on this tour. And it's been a great tour. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground in a short period of time. We started here, actually, but we've been to Connecticut and Florida and Southern California. And do you know what I mean? We've done a lap.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of sleeping on bumpy tour buses, but we are done. I'll say, man, as much as I loved it, I'm quite stoked about that.
Oh, absolutely. Put the feet up in the same spot two nights in a row, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I've actually been away from home for 10 weeks now because I did this tour of South America before this as well. So I'm very much looking forward to sleeping in my own bed.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you have a day off on tour, are you just crashing the whole day, or are you trying to, you know, see the sights and sounds of the city?
Not so much seeing the sights and sounds, because more often than not, we have days off at kind of like not quite a truck stop, but you know, pretty middle of nowhere places, because we're generally between A and B, you know. I keep busy while I'm on tour. I'm mixing some records at the minute. You know, just keeping up with work, correspondence, writing, whatever it might be. So we have a thing that on days off, we call it slug life. And slug life means you wake up, you get into the hotel room, you put on the dressing gown, you put your phone on Do Not Disturb, you order Uber Eats, and you just don't speak to anyone all day. And given the kind of intense sociality, if you like, of what I do for a living, because I'm talking to people all day, apart from my partner, obviously, who I speak to, but beyond that, like on a day off, I quite often don't talk to anyone, and that's a good feeling. I'll, you know, watch some Netflix, read a book.
Have you been watching anything good or reading anything?
I'm reading Christopher Clark's History of the Outbreak of the First World War, which is very good. I'm a history nerd. That was a period of history I thought I knew quite a lot about, and it turns out I didn't. So that's been cool. I'm watching a TV show called Animal Kingdom at the moment, which is fun. It's pretty disposable. It's not profound, I wouldn't have said. But I watched the Pee Wee Herman documentary recently that was with Paul. I can't remember his real name now. But that was really weirdly moving, actually. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Do you have any pieces of media, I guess, that you've held with you your whole life, like anything you feel?
Yeah, I mean the obvious thing is obviously there's tons of records hugely impactful for me. I mean, that's the thing I talk about really regularly. In terms of other types of media, I mean, I read some poetry, not loads, but some. And actually recently I'm learning Spanish at the minute, and I've been reading Spanish poetry, which is, I've been reading Lorca in Spanish, which is challenging, but a good way to learn language for sure. And then, I read incessantly. I'm a bibliophile. My partner is always horrified by how quickly I read. Recently I was reading John Dos Passos' USA Trilogy, which is a sort of foundational American novel that's incredibly long and hard going, but I enjoyed it. I think in terms of things that stayed with me over time, the book I always have to mention is Cultural Amnesia by Clive James. I think that book probably changed my outlook on life, politics, and art more than anything else I've ever read in my life.
How so?
I just think that Clive James has long been my favorite writer, and it's just, he sat down to write the cultural crazy of the 20th century, and the number of people he could even think to do that is pretty limited.
Yeah.
And
I've read it a few times. The first time I read it, I just had a notepad out, and I was like, I've never heard of him, never heard of her, never heard of them. Do you know what I mean?
You got homework.
Yeah, totally. And then I went and read a whole pile of books that he was sort of discussing or citing or whatever, and watched films that he was talking about and listened to records he was talking about. And then sort of reread it again and had a better idea of what on earth he was talking about. But he had a kind of, I don't know if this is quite the right way of putting it, but a kind of muscularly and humorously, but sort of self-deprecatingly sort of liberal view of the world and about sort of the need to resist totalitarianism wherever it might come from and all this kind of thing. So it definitely kind of gave my view of the world some sort of like hinterland, should we say.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Do you have a big library at your place?
Yeah, I do. Okay. When my partner and I moved in together, the boxes were arriving, and she was just like, this cannot be more books. And I was like, I've got terrible news for you, but it is. Yeah, I have a lot of books. And I love them. I love keeping them there. I mean, you know, one could argue what's the point? How many times am I going to re-reference things? And there are a few that I do, but it makes me feel nice. I like to kind of stroke my bookshelf.
Exactly. It's furniture, you know, it's something for the wall.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of books. Do you think you've crossed like the 500 book threshold? Thousand book threshold?
I mean, I started keeping a list of everything I read in 2020. I read an average of about 67 books a year. So, and have done since I was like 10. So,
jeez.
Yeah. I don't, and unfortunately, I wish I'd started keeping this later. I'm quite sort of like meticulous about stuff. I mean, you can see it from the way I count my shows and everything. Like, yeah. I like keeping lists of things I've done.
Now, speaking of counting shows, the number I've written down is 3,131. Does that sound right to you? That's going to be tonight?
I actually think it's 3,134 tonight. I think we've got a couple more. No, it's totally fine. I mean, the thing about that is there are some people who think that I retain that information in my head. I absolutely don't. It's written on the set list.
Okay.
But nice. I wrote the set list just now. So, you know, and it's written in quite... When I first did it, it was in really small letters, and I kept finding myself doing this on stage and squinting at the floor. And eventually my tour manager was like, you know, you could
make that font. Bigger.
Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, that's a great idea. But yeah, I mean, you know, the whole show list thing, like I started doing it in the beginning. My old drummer in my old band, I think they kept a list of our shows, and I always thought it was a bit weird while the band was together, but when we broke up, I was very glad that he did, because it gave me an overview of what we'd done, and it's amazing how quickly you forget things when you do as many of them as I do.
Yeah.
Also, the early days of my solo touring, there was no one else there. It was just me. I was traveling on the train, I had a rucksack, I had a guitar, and so there's no one I can call to be like, hey, what were we doing in February 2006 or something?
Yeah.
Because there was no one else at all the shows. So started keeping a list, put it on my website. We got to show 1,000, and I organized a show for it with some friends of mine in London. And I said, look, it's my 1,000th show. And they were like, what? How would you know? What does that even mean?
Yeah.
And like, I sort of explained this to them. So that one, like, not that many people were on board. By the time we got to show 2,000, it had become a thing that people were keen on, and we did like a 2,000 cap venue in Nottingham, England, my favorite venue, Rock City, and it sold out very quickly. So when it got to show 3,000, we were like, let's do a big statement show. We booked Alexander Palace, which is like 11,000 people, thinking, you know, maybe we'll get it sold out by the time of the show, and then it sold out in 24 hours, and it was just like, what? So that was pretty cool, and now we're on our way to 4,000, and the first email I had asking me where and when show 4,000 was going to be was about 2 days after show 3,000. And I was like, this is going to take a minute. And when I say a minute, I mean probably about 8 years.
8 years.
So, because, I mean, you know, I have done a lot of frenetic touring in my life. I don't tour quite as hard as I did in my sort of 20s and early 30s anymore, which is a function of age to a degree. And it's a function of the fact that me and my band and crew, everyone's got families now and kids and homes that they live in. I mean, back in like 2010 till about 2016 was just manic, and I think we did 13 months without going home at one point, and now we get to like the 3.5 week mark and everyone's like and then like I say, that's a function of getting older, and it's a marathon or a sprint. I don't want to kill myself pretending that I'm 22 for, you know, forever. So it will take a little longer to get to the next milestone, but we'll get there.
Do you find yourself writing any differently in your new age?
Yeah, definitely. I think, writing as a concept is a very broad and complicated and ineluctable thing, you know, and I think that it should change. I've never really had a methodology for it. Songs kind of arrive and I grab at them when I can, and then I spend time hammering them together. I'm sort of keen not to repeat myself, which necessarily implies change. Maybe not in methodology, but I don't have methodology. But like, you know, I don't want to rewrite Love Iron Song. I wrote that.
Yeah.
It's already there.
It's done.
Yeah, and we still play a bunch of songs with that record live, so I don't need to write them again. You know, I'm constantly looking for ways to change what I do. And yeah, getting older does, it changes your subject matter, it changes your taste musically, all that kind of thing, you know. So these things evolve over time. I mean, right now, it's way too early to actually talk about this, but I'm in a very kind of like trad folk place at the moment. The last couple of records I did have been kind of punk rock records, which I love, and we're on tour with Descendants, so happy days.
Yeah.
But I've been really kind of deep into kind of old school kind of folk and country again lately. It's been a minute since I was deep into that stuff, so it's we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Maybe there'll be a grindcore record. I don't know. We'll find
out. Maybe.
Yeah.
What old kind of folky records are you listening to?
I've been a lot of kind of like, I've got the Smithsonian collection of kind of field recordings of trad American stuff, which I love, and the Cecil Sharp House collections as well, which is sort of the English equivalent, the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to a lot of that again. And, you know, Phil Ox and stuff like that, and early Dylan and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm about to try and recreate all of that, but...
you're not writing Blonde on Blonde.
No. Well, I would go earlier than that. I'd say more stuff like Another Side and Times Era Changing kind of era. There's I've been doing a lot of full band stuff lately, which I love, and I love my boys, and they're the best band in rock and roll as far as I'm concerned. But there has always been a strand to what I do that is sort of centered around the kind of idiom of one person with an instrument.
Yep.
And I feel like I haven't kind of paid too much attention to that in recent years, and I'd like to kind of refocus on it.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see. Yeah. Like I say, I changed my mind radically in between albums. So there was one point when Positive Songs for Negative People was going to be a white soul album, and it absolutely isn't. And I think everyone's quite glad about that, but I had this moment in time when I was just listening to white soul like all the time, Style Council, whatever else, yeah. And just thinking, yeah, I want to do this. And then in the end, forewent that, and I think everyone's pleased.
Yeah.